Welcome to the Moving Places Traveling Podcast. Hello, welcome back to Moving Places, and it's day 8 of our podcast. And today is also World Oceans Day. And so today I thought I'd talk a bit about what these special watery landscapes mean to me and also to wider communities as well. And you can just hear the sea crashing in the background there. It's quite soothing, really. And I'm just going to turn that down a wee bit so we can have a wee bit of a journey together. So, World Oceans Day is actually a fairly recent idea that emerged out of a desire to recognise the importance of water-based landscapes, and actually was passed in a resolution by the UN General Assembly in 2008 to designate the 8th of June as that special day. And of course, when we think about our planet, it makes a lot of sense, right? Oceans cover over 70% of the planet, and so it's a really important component of supporting not only human life, but many different type of plants and animals. It produces at least 50% of the planet's oxygen as well. Part of those landscapes that are really important for helping biodiversity are coral reefs, which are under stress and threat from lots of different activities, particularly certain human activities as well. And so I'll come back to that in a minute in terms of how we think about those landscapes through creative writing in particular. And so one of the important things about today really is raising awareness of these different landscapes and looking at how we value them and thinking a bit about what we can do to also protect them. And myself, this is of course something that's been really important in terms of being a geographer, looking at the connections between coastal and thinking about the connections between land and the sea and oceans. And actually, if we think about oceans, of course, are the vast areas, the big open water areas, and seas are sort of the smaller parts that are located closer that connect directly with the land, right? And so what differentiates seas and oceans are usually that the sea is a smaller component, it connects to the land, right, or maybe might be bounded partly by land areas. There's only one exception of this, actually, interestingly, in the world, which is the Sargasso Sea, which is near the Bermuda Islands, which is actually surrounded by a system of ocean currents. And so that's a different kind of boundary, right, which is kind of interesting and kinds adds to this sort of mystery often that we hear about sort of the stories of the sea and Bermuda and ocean travel. And that's featured a lot in writing around explorations and things like this, and in things like cinema and novels. But of course there's a more complicated history, right, in terms of things like the Middle Passage, the periods of time where people are also been forced to move or flee. If you think about things like the slave trade in the Atlantic, for instance, as well, right? And now that contrasts with also different images. If we look at things like tourism and cruise ships, and of course the impacts of the pandemic on things like, you know, mobilities and the limitation and constraints placed on crossing bodies of water, but also the challenges faced by groups of people like refugees and the dangers that they face as well, right? So oceans are can be a very poignant landscape as well, but also a very rich landscape in terms of how we imagine our place in the world and the possibilities in terms of this very rich landscape. Now, part of the way that I've tried to sort of understand this is thinking about, you know, how I suppose my own movements back and forward across the Atlantic have helped me to shape what the kinds of things that I've come to study. So, for instance, geography. I crossed the Atlantic from Scotland, where I grew up, to study in the US, and then back again to work in the UK, and then back across the Atlantic again to work in Jamaica. And it was there that I came across the work of the writer, thinker, and wonderful poet Camus Brathwaite, who's born in Barbados. And I thought I would read a part of his poem Coral, which was published in the Paris Review in 2019, and sadly he passed away just last year. And he really was just a wonderful wordsmith and brilliant presenter in terms of sharing these very evocative landscape. And I'll just read this just now, and this was dedicated to Angelique Brathwaite in the start of the choral poem. This livid, liquid mermaid, deep tidal embankment under the water, breathes through the sea leaves like lamplight, dreams itself a green island lizard. Long before you was born, branches of blue into tunes of blue crystal softness of turquoise and terrace and moon, where there is still no sound of the sea, where no waves break in white, because you was not yet born, not yet turning to morning inside of your mother's womb. And just a wonderful evocative excerpt from that poem in terms of thinking of these very distinctive colours of the landscape. And when I came back to Scotland, these poems and works of many other Caribbean writers I carried with me, and reflecting also on the connections between the Caribbean and Scotland, and thinking about how the coastal areas of Scotland have also been represented. And this has led me to the work of the poet Kathleen Jamie, who was born in Scotland and has written this poem, The Glass-Hulled Boat. And I thought it provided a nice connection to Camus' piece. And I'll just read the first few sections here. First come the jellyfish, mauved, fringed, luminous bowls, the lost internal organs pulsing in slow. Then in the green gloom, swaying sideways and back, like half-forgotten ancestors, columns of bladder wreck. It's as though we've stalled in a taxi, in an ill-lit, odd little town, at closing time, when everyone's maudlin and really ought just to go home. You sorry, inclining pillars of wreck, you lone, vaguely uterine jellyfish. Again, we just get these images of the sea and how that becomes interwoven with the human landscapes as well. And I just thought it just creates this wonderful imagery that makes us sort of reflect on our connections to this watery landscape that in many ways can also seem quite ephemeral too, even though it's had this long, long, long history in geography. So hopefully with those words and those wonderful words of poetry that hopefully you get the chance to come back to and enjoy in full, and I'll put the links to the full poems up in the podcast information. I hope you get to also celebrate World Oceans Day. Thanks again, and bye for now. Thanks for joining us on Moving Places.